the Roughing the Passer video podcast 2017 NFL Combine. Will Brinson, Jason Lockenfor, and Pete Prisco. You know, we actually haven't done a... It's been a while since we've done a podcast, right, Pete?
Since the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Were you right or wrong about your prediction?
Wrong. Because of Kyle Shanahan. I would have been right if it wasn't for Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah, you would have been right if you weren't... If you weren't betting against the greatest quarterback in NFL history.
You know, if Kyle Shanahan takes three knees and then kicks his field goal, Super Bowl's his, and they win the game. You going to argue with me on that one?
If you
had a mustache, you'd be your uncle? Is that what you're going to say?
Exactly.
Well, the bottom line is...
If ifs and buts were candy and nuts, what a sweet world it would be.
It was the easiest thing in the world. Run, take
the
two.
Other team still had to go out there and beat their ass
you don't
for 22
time
straight
on the
minutes.
Clock. You run the ball three times, you kick your field goal.
Yeah,
the game's
that's
over.
Fine. But if Brady throws one pick, if somebody fumbles one ball, if you know what I mean, but they still had to go out there
Jason,
and were the better team by such a dramatic margin
if
over those 22 minutes.
If they kick that field goal, do they lose the Super Bowl?
If he makes the field goal,
well,
they win
it would
the
have
Super
been a 30-yarder or whatever. Come here, 40-yarder.
Look, I'm not defending Kyle Shanahan. I'm saying your argument
yes, you
is flawed.
Are. You always defend
you
Kyle
didn't
Shanahan.
You didn't
you always
lose
defend
your
Kyle
bet
Shanahan.
Because of Kyle
you always
Shanahan.
Defend Kyle
you
Shanahan.
Lost your bet because you picked the lesser team.
You always defend Kyle Shanahan.
You picked
Shanahan.
The lesser team.
No.
Did the better? So, okay. Did the better team win the Super Bowl?
No.
Think about just come on.
The better
don't
quarterback
buy,
won
don't
the Super Bowl.
Don't buy into your logic.
The better quarterback won the
just
Super
think
Bowl.
About this as a rational human being.
No.
Do you really think the 2017 Atlanta Falcons are better, or the 2016 Atlanta Falcons are better than the 2016
yes.
Patriots.
Yes, they were.
Pete, you always
no,
say that
not.
Quarterbacks are what matter. So how is it? Like you like quarterbacks make the team. Then how are the Patriots not better if they have Tom Brady?
The guy was unstoppable for 22 straight minutes. He had a quarterback rating of like 128.
Oh, I get it. I get it.
From the 8:31 minute of the third
but
quarter.
But all you had to do was take a knee three straight times and kick your field goal, and the
you
game's
know
over.
You know, if
that
maybe,
other, but that, that's that. But the other team still had to put up 35 points
I get
in 31
it,
minutes.
Maybe the Falcons should draft Leonard Fournette
no,
and use
here's
him
what,
on
what
three
also
straight
would have happened. If the Falcons were such a great team and the best team in football, maybe they would have got a stop over the final five, was it six straight scoring drives? They couldn't get one stop.
If Kyle Shanahan had taken a knee three straight times and kicked the field goal, they win the Super Bowl.
What if he'd run Leonard, what if they draft Leonard Fournette in the first round? You like Leonard Fournette, right?
They got a million backs. They don't need a running back.
I don't
back.
Really think the Falcons should draft Leonard
you
Fournette.
Think,
I'm just trying to segue out of the Super Bowl. I'm sorry for asking about the Super
you
Bowl.
You want to segue into Leonard Fournette?
Sure.
Well, I mean, he's overweight.
Didn't seem to bother him running today.
Ran a 4.5.
Is that good?
For a 240-pound guy, I'd say that's you would stand on that.
When Fred Taylor
do you think he's going to run again in his pro day?
Out of school, he ran 4.29, so don't talk. They have 4.5.
What's up with the Fred Taylor comparison?
Because Fred, because the
big how many
backs.
Of the guys, how many of the ones, how many of the running backs who were 220 were running 4.5? A lot of them.
That's not great.
This guy's carrying 20 more pounds, 25 more pounds.
Didn't you expect him to run 4.4 something?
I think four five he's fine with.
You know, you're not concerned you know at all what? That he's
here's the determining factor. 240? Do you think he's gonna run in his pro day?
Yeah.
No, I don't think he is.
You think he's gonna
I think McCaffrey
this?
I think he will. Yeah.
Well then 240 pounds, 4.5 is not great. 4.51.
4.49 for Dalvin Cook, 4.51 for Leonard Fournette.
Fournette ran 4.51 and 4.52, they said. So he ran two above 4.5. That's not great.
It's a 1/100th of a second above, and
the issue. It doesn't matter for me. That's not the issue with me for him. The issue is whether he can go put his foot in the ground and make cuts and stuff. I think he's a straight line runner. I thought his 40, I'll be honest with you, I thought his 40 time, even at 240, would be a lot better. I did.
How high would you draft
I don't know
Fournette?
How many people would.
How high would I draft Fournette? Back end of the first round, maybe.
Who should draft Fournette?
Back end of the first round.
Give me a team.
Well, a lot of people say Carolina should draft him.
I don't really want it. I don't really, and like, it's hard for me to want to take a running back in the first round.
Right.
Even one who's special.
Right.
Like,
you're with me on that. You've come to the Pete Prisco school of
football. If you take
I like it.
The problem is if you take like you got to figure the
you got
like because
like,
I'm thinking like teams that are like late like Green Bay and if I'm Green Bay like I still don't know that I take a running back right no. there with the, they need pass rush. I mean, there's a lot of
taken,
things. They
would
need.
You have taken Zeke Elliott where you took him?
Yes,
you would have.
In hindsight,
Zeke Elliott.
Yeah,
I think
at the time no. And hey, wait a minute. And that's still if the kid's super clean, maybe he ain't super
but
clean.
But not only just super clean, and now he's got. Another year of carries on his body. So next year, worn down even more. The next year, worn down even more. The next year, worn down even more.
So are you saying that you think that the Cowboys are fraudulent?
He's saying now that running backs are old at 21.
Yeah.
Is that you should write that column, Frisco.
No, what I'm saying is...
For running backs, 21 is the new 30.
His 18-year-old kid's a loser.
No, but you know what is old for running backs now? 27. It used to be 30, now you're 27. You're getting second deals now?
Some.
Really?
Lamar Miller did all right. last year.
Not bad.
Yeah. Miller, though, that's a case.
You know what would be interesting? Latavius Murray would be an interesting case this year.
Is Lamar Miller going to get this play out the entire second deal?
Who does? How many guys do?
Oh.
Is there any chance that that Myles Garrett doesn't go number one overall?
It's always a chance, but I don't think it's a great
chance.
I
think he's going.
Yeah.
I think he's going first overall.
To the Browns or somebody else?
The Browns.
I think the Browns.
The Browns won't move out of number.
If he goes... is anybody else besides me concerned?
How many blue-chip players are the Browns going to continue to pass on? I mean, like, no, honestly, just, like, think about how far they traded down last year.
Yeah.
And how many how many players would have legitimately helped them immediately? Whether it's Bosa or Wentz or a couple of the tackles.
Corey Coleman was good.
Tunsil. I mean, look at the now you're going to tell me they got the one
you
again.
You would have taken Tunsil, though.
Huh? Our helpful editor, Matthew Tabeek, points out that Le'Veon Bell weighed 237 at the combine. What do you think about that?
And then he didn't become a star until he lost 15 pounds.
Well, I want to know what Le'Veon Bell ran at 237.
Right. Like, he's too fat at 237.
Let's see what he ran.
He was too fat at 237.
Let's see what he ran.
I'm fine.
One running back in the top 20 rushers of all time who was over 240 pounds, and it's 3.9 Jerome Bettis.
4'6".
There you go.
Right.
Freeze! Yeah, right. So basically you've just been exposed.
Well, he wasn't any good until he lost 15 pounds.
But this guy can lose weight too, but I'm
he
saying.
Was a big over, he was
for
a big,
four, five, for,
he was a big overweight, he was pounds, an overweight runner
four,
until he lost 15 pounds.
Right.
You're proving my point.
So this kid's not going to run at his pro day.
He was 15 pounds too heavy. He had to lose weight.
McCaffrey will, but this kid won't. It's my guess.
McCaffrey go in the first round? I think
he does. He needs to have a good pro day.
No.
Why not?
I think he could.
Why would you take Christian McCaffrey?
I'm not saying I would. We're saying
could he?
What we think a team is capable of doing. Is there, of these 32 teams,
is one of them capable at the back end?
Patriots.
Yeah.
But they're not going to pick a running back in that spot. They won't. Look what they do in the running back position. They are the team that everybody should emulate when it comes to the running back position. They draft, they get LeGarrette Blount, big slugger, draft him off the scrap
heap.
You're
calling him a running back, though. I don't know that Bill Belichick would call him a running back.
McCaffrey?
He call him whatever
McCaffrey's
he wants to call
him. He's an OW.
He's in motion.
Offensive
like
weapons.
James White. Fourth round.
Yeah, but I think this kid's upside.
James White, fourth round.
This kid touched the ball 30 times a game.
I like him.
And let's not forget, too, that the Patriots down the stretch last year, bad special teams.
Yeah, right.
McCaffrey
return
comes
game,
in immediately
slot
impacts
receiver,
the return game.
Jet screen guy.
You're wasting a pick on a running back in the first round.
Not if he's involved in the offense, scores two touchdowns in
wasting
return.
Right. Who cares where he lined up?
Wasting a pick.
First round, you wasted a pick. They have defensive needs, dude.
So your argument would be like, so if someone who's had the exact career of Walter Payton was drafted in the 2019 first round.
And he turns out to be an absolute clone of Walter Payton.
They shouldn't have taken that guy in the first round. No, I'm not.
Yeah,
I'm talking about the futuristic 2019 draft.
You're talking about Walter Payton played in an era when running backs mattered.
But I'm saying the Cowboys went 13 games with a running back that mattered and helped prop up a quarterback when you boy.
Wait a second. Their ring is glistening off my eye over here.
Is the quarterback and Russell Wilson's just along for the ride. What happened to that?
They're the top-ranked defense in the league. Let's not forget that.
I'm talking about offense.
They're the top-ranked defense in the league. It allows you to do different things.
You remember when the Broncos stormed into the playoffs behind their amazing quarterback?
Yeah.
And, like, pounded through everybody.
Well, wait. Because they had such a great running game that year, too, right?
Did they have a
great run because of their defense.
You
defense.
Yell about running backs can't win titles.
They don't win anymore. When was the last running back to win a title that carried his team to the title?
You would say Marshawn Lynch.
James White!
You just talked about how great Brady – are you really going to sit there and say James White won that title?
It takes a village.
Tom Brady said at his MVP press conference, James White should be the MVP of this game.
What was he going to say?
James White had three touchdowns and 14 catches.
If you put Brady on the lie detector test, it would have went, just like it would have went, when he pumped up the footballs.
Whoa.
You don't think.
That, Pete. Are you saying that Tom Brady – I believe you just said Tom Brady is a liar.
Well, somebody messed with the footballs.
You said if you put Tom Brady on a lie detector test,
I did say that. Well, just like if I put Belichick on the lie detector test about trading Jimmy Garoppolo, we'd go, eh.
All right, let's talk about that then. Garoppolo, the rumor is that he will not be dealt because the Patriots want insurance for Tom Brady.
Okay, all right.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how much BS is that?
10.
55?
10.
Yeah. He's getting traded.
He's getting traded.
Well, I'm not going to guarantee he's getting traded.
I'm guaranteeing.
If somebody values him,
I'm guaranteeing he's
as much as Belichick's value that he will apply to him,
okay,
then he'll be traded.
What if Belichick...
And that's likely. I think that's likely to be the case.
He'll get traded.
I think they want to get 12 from the Browns in a perfect world, and if that can't happen, then they go to San Francisco and say, give us 33.
I would give him 12.
For Garoppolo?
Yeah.
Would you really?
Yeah, I would. Yeah, I'm not enamored with the quarterbacks in this
class.
What's
the framework of the deal for Garoppolo in 12?
What do you mean?
What would I
get Garoppolo and I'll give you one, that 12, and a 5. You think the Patriots would do that?
Yeah, in a heartbeat. I think if they get 12, the Patriots sign up right now.
If I would trade the 3. What's the difference?
The 3?
The third pick. If I'm Chicago or whoever, I would trade that pick.
See, I wouldn't do that.
I'd think about that one,
too. The cost control. Like,
I would think about that one, too.
You can't know that Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be good. Like, you can think he's going to be good.
Well, you can't know that anybody's going to be good.
I know, but I mean, like, the issue is...
Okay, so you're Chicago, and you're sitting there at 3. You don't have a quarterback. You'd keep the pick, and you take who? Jonathan Allen? Is Jonathan Allen more valuable than solving your quarterback position?
You take Mitch Trubisky, and you hope?
I mean, I think the issue is
I'm with Jason.
I would trade the 3.
I would trade the 1 if I had to.
It wouldn't make a difference to me.
If I had a conviction about Jimmy Garoppolo... And I'm the Bears or the Jets or
the Browns.
Or the Browns or whoever. If I had the conviction,
the Texans.
Or 49ers, the Texans, if I had the conviction about them, I'll make the deal. And I don't care what I trade
for them. If the Browns offered 12 to the Patriots and the Bill said, no, I want the 1, you can have Garoppolo. You love him enough that you're going to give him up to 12. Would you give up the 1?
Yes.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
Because if you don't solve that position, nothing else matters.
But I do think it does matter that if you're a team acquiring Jimmy Garoppolo, you have to look at this potential Kirk Cousins situation where you trade for Garoppolo, you get 1 year to evaluate him, and then you got to apply the tag and figure out a long-term
deal.
But
I don't think that's a problem.
Or if you don't screw it up.
I talked to somebody last night who actually presented it in those terms, and it makes a lot of sense. So you have him this year at 820.
Yeah.
And then you could Cousins him, franchise him twice for about 44.
Cousins him, you're going to turn him into an average quarterback?
Yeah.
Cousins him.
So now you're talking 46 million for 3. Do the math.
Right.
I mean, 15 plus right. for a starting quarterback is
not bad.
Right.
You're winning.
Deal.
Yeah.
You're winning.
Right.
So, and if you have him for the first year and you don't like him, you could franchise him and trade him.
But if you trade for him, you're probably going
to
lock him up to a deal. That's not going
to
be crazy. But it's not going
to
be crazy, though.
It wouldn't.
Because he knows that.
You'd be negotiating off of that 15 figure.
Right. He knows
figure.
That. Right.
But let's say you didn't. I mean, the whole thing is. You can control it. You could extend him at any point over those 3 years. You could trade him at any point over those 3 years.
Here's another thing that people lose total sight of. Jimmy Garoppolo has thrown 90-something passes in his career. 90-something.
94.
Right. It's 94 more passes than Mahomes or Trubisky.
It's not just that. He's also 25. He has an emotional maturity. It's a lot different between a 20-year-old Jared Goff.
You hang out with him?
I know enough people who do.
Trubisky's 23, though, right?
Yeah, but let's compare him to, like, Goff last year, right? Do you think Goff struck you as an overly, let's not even say quarterback,
no,
overly mature person?
But he's 5 years younger, though, so that's 5 more years.
Yeah, but at 25, he's already got the learning curve. The 3 years
like
where he
Jimmy.
Just plays in the preseason,
like
it already happened.
I like Jimmy Garoppolo.
The 3 years to season him, Josh McDaniels already did it for you.
But
he's heady enough, right? He's heady enough and smart enough that Belichick, if Brady went down, would have been willing to turn it over to this kid, right? And he actually had to, and he got the job done.
He looked really good in those games.
Brissett beat a playoff team, remember?
Yeah, but that
Brissett beat the Texans.
Yeah,
he threw the ball like three times.
You guys always point to the beat. Look, against Miami, Jimmy Garoppolo looked terrific.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say he didn't. But again, it's 94 passes, and people are racing him up the board. Give up the number one pick.
It's 94 passes.
You just said you would give up the number one.
Plus the whole college career.
I think if you don't solve the quarterback position, you're
mad. Do you believe that Jimmy Garoppolo will be a successful quarterback outside of New England?
Do I?
Yes, yes but yes. I don't know. But I mean, like if it's Cleveland, that's
not a guarantee.
Tough.
But here's the other thing.
Right, but you think he's good.
Successful quarterback.
Yes.
If you're trading the number one overall pick, you're thinking he's going to be in the elite of the elite, right?
Yeah.
Do you think he's going to be in the elite of the elite?
I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility.
Really? 94 passes has you convinced that he's going to be in the elite?
No, it's not 94 passes. It's what I heard about him in college and what a lot of evaluators I trust thought of him in college. And then what he did in three preseasons.
And then the second round.
And then you act like that's the end of the world.
It's the second round.
Our listener points out that Manziel was also great in college.
That's it.
Right.
Well.
And
right, but Manziel had no emotional maturity. I mean, he had no capacity to handle him, conduct himself as an adult.
Look, I like Jimmy Garoppolo. I just think everybody's got to slow the roll just a tad.
Right. But
how much better is Jimmy Garoppolo than A.J. McCarron?
When they play, nobody knows the answer to that question.
Well, when
if
they
there
play,
were answers to these questions, there would like nobody would screw up free agency.
Well, that's why we have bars, so we argue about these questions.
Right.
Let's discuss them. I'm getting inside your head, Jason.
How much better do I think Garoppolo is than McCarron?
Yeah.
They might both turn out to be top 10 quarterbacks.
Okay, so
I don't know.
You're talking about giving out the one overall, which I would probably do for Garoppolo. How much would you give up for McCarron? Two?
I don't
overall.
A
second?
Yeah.
I don't feel as strongly
if you
about
went back,
McCarron.
I'm going to tell you this right now. If you went back and watched McCarron play when he played for the Bengals when Dalton was down, and watched Garoppolo play when he played for the Patriots, there isn't much difference.
I promise you,
I've done it. There is not much difference.
So you think that Jimmy Garoppolo? Do you think that A.J. McCarron is going to be an elite starter?
I don't think either one of them is going to be an elite starter. I think they both have the potential to be a serviceable.
Okay, well, then the question becomes: let's continue down this. So then, of the four quarterbacks in this draft, do you think any of them will be an elite starter? Because that's what this is your pool.
The odds are, I get it.
Free agency draft.
The odds are, one will be, but the reality.
Which one do you think?
Mahomes.
Which one would you?
I would
say
take Mahomes
at one.
I wouldn't take him at one.
And
but
you think Mahomes over the next 3 to 5 years will be better than Garoppolo?
This is the problem. You're forcing all these guys into being something they're not because you're so desperate to get one.
Right, but that's why you don't force the pick.
Well, no, all you're forcing him to do is, like, if Chicago trades the third overall pick for Jimmy Garoppolo and he has three contracts there and plays 15 years and is a winning quarterback.
That was a great trade.
That they won the trade.
He crushed it, yeah.
I'm not saying he's got to be freaking Tom Brady.
Is he the reason they're winning, or are they winning because they got the number one ranked defense in a running game? I mean,
they're going to have to figure all that out.
Who cares? It doesn't matter.
But it does matter.
No, if you're winning, and
sustainable success comes from the quarterback position. It doesn't come from anything
else. He's going to play at a decent enough level
so
that he does not inhibit the franchise.
So if they trade for him and he plays for 15 years and he has three contracts,
he plays well enough that they want to pay him two more times.
Right. So, okay.
So they had success.
Do I think Jimmy Garoppolo could be that guy? Yeah.
Do you think anybody in this draft can be that guy?
I think Trubisky can.
I don't know.
You're partial to North Carolina.
Anything
comes from North Carolina, like barbecue from North Carolina, greatest thing in the world. Anything. Bit loafers come from North Carolina, it's the greatest thing in the world from him.
Bit loafers, or that's a North Carolina, specifically North Carolina thing?
Does anyone talk about Florida more than this guy? And then he's like,
no, it's not in Florida, it's Jacksonville. You think Jacksonville is
its
own state, like its own state of the union.
It is, and I'm the mayor.
You are the mayor of Jacksonville.
My family's all from Jacksonville, right? And they're like, oh, you work with Prisco? That guy's a beep.
Really? You should hear what I say about your family.
All right. By the way, we should remind listeners and viewers, you can get some delicious food. I bet you guys are hungry. You'd like some lunch.
Blue Apron
sponsoring this podcast. BlueApron.com/roughing. You get three free meals with free shipping. Go to BlueApron.com/roughing. It's affordable. There's a variety. It's flexible. It's easy to make. It'll teach you to be a better cook. What is your question, Pete?
Do they have diet food? Because Fournette might need some.
God.
Jeez.
They got pork chops and miso butter with bok choy and marinated apples this month. Vegetable chili and baked sweet potatoes with crispy tortilla strips. Spicy shrimp, coconut curry with cabbage and rice. Those are some delightful options.
Sounds great, man.
That's right. So go to blueapron.com/roughing. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
And then they have some recipes on the side where they slash the caloric intake, and guys like Leonard Fournette could come to next year's combine.
Can you imagine what he'd be saying if the kid actually didn't run well?
Or like, what? Yeah,
28 inch vertical jump.
Is he
going to
be scaling buildings? Is he going
to
be Spider-Man?
He might need to be. The way you talk about him, you think he would be.
I didn't say I would take him in the first round. I'm just saying, at 240 pounds, I'm not worried about the vertical leap. I'm worried about can he run. And he ran pretty well.
4.5 is not running that well.
This Le'Veon Bell at 3 pounds
and then
less.
And he lost 14 pounds.
Yeah, and this guy could do the same thing.
He wasn't a factor until he lost 14 pounds. He'll be the first one to tell
you.
Bell was a different running back in the game, but I wouldn't say he wasn't a factor. Bell got the Blue Apron diet stuff, and it helped him. Coming out of Michigan State, Bell was a little bit
He was a plotter. He was a plotting back. He was too heavy.
I want to see what
fat backs don't make it in the National Football
League. But you're missing my point. This guy hasn't always been 240.
Isn't that a red flag then? That he comes here at 240?
And he still ran a 4.5.
The water weight thing can, so he's like, man, I guess for this most important test of my life, I just accidentally took too much water. It's like, that doesn't hold up. You know?
No.
It doesn't, I don't know.
What's
if
the matter?
I buy
his bladder isn't working?
Yeah, I guess
I mean,
so.
Come on. Seriously. He's too heavy.
What do you think? Who do you think the best wide receiver in this draft is going to end up being?
Davis.
Corey Davis?
The only one I've heard
John Ross?
People really banging the drum was the Clemson kid.
No.
Mike Williams?
Pete's
not a fan of Mike Williams.
No, I'm not.
You know why? Because he thinks he's fat and slow.
He doesn't run. I want to see what his 40 time is. Yeah, he doesn't run. He doesn't
40.
Play fast. He doesn't play fast at all.
So John Ross said today that he believes he can run a 4. He said he's run a 4.3 flat and been timed with it. He thinks he can break Chris Johnson's record. Any chance of it happening?
Yeah, there's a chance of it, but probably I think Adoree Jackson has a chance to break it.
Ooh, a little sleeper action.
Yeah, I like Adoree Jackson. I think he can fly, man. Kid's a good player.
Who's a wide receiver that's not being talked about that could end up in the first round, Pete? Or even top of the second?
See, it's such a deep wide receiver class, so I think teams are going to wait and hold off. I do. I think Mike Williams has a chance to fall out of the first round.
Really?
I do.
That's what about his quarterback?
You remember Mike Williams from USC?
Yeah.
Do you remember Mike Williams from Syracuse?
I'm staying out of this. Because
do you remember Mike Williams from
USC? I refuse.
Are you name profiling?
That's exactly what he's doing.
They were all too big.
I saw it coming with the
they
first
reference.
They
were too big. They were too. They didn't play
they had
fast.
The wrong name.
It's like, oh, this guy was named Mike Williams. He's totally hosed.
They all got one was drafted in the first round. Mike Williams had the other Mike Williams from Syracuse who played for the Bucks had a nice early start to his career and fizzled.
Yeah.
They were too big. They didn't run that well. Mike Williams might not run that well. He doesn't play fast.
He's a big body receiver. He's a big physical receiver, right? I mean, like he's not a speed guy.
No, he's a receiver who can go get jump balls. I mean, Alshon Jeffrey like, but he's not. I don't even think he's as good as Alshon Jeffrey.
Screwed up my flights. I think I'm stuck here another day.
You're with us tomorrow.
I thought I was leaving tomorrow, and now there's like no flights out. I'm on Sunday. I booked it on Sunday. I thought I booked it for yesterday, tomorrow.
You're going to miss your kid's event. You're what a cruel human being. Maybe we'll get you out.
You just change your flight.
Nah.
Get in the car.
A whole new ticket. We'll see.
What about Mike Williams' quarterback, Deshaun Watson?
I'm concerned about him.
He'll go very high.
He'll go high. Look, the kid's a winner. People love that. I don't point to winning as a quarterback statistic. I never have.
Except for when it facilitates his argument.
No,
right.
No, I don't point to winning.
I don't point to things like running backs mattering until I need to.
Well, if winning a quarterback is such a big deal, then why isn't Eli Manning held in high regard?
I think Eli Manning gets a fair amount of accolades.
He does?
He's overrated.
But back to Deshaun Watson. Yeah. Look, he had some really good games against some really good teams. But there are games you look at it and you go, what is this? He takes snaps and runs.
That's what happens with 20-year-old kids. I mean, that's
No. The design of the offense didn't help him any either. I'll give him that much. But he doesn't make NFL. I watched the Notre Dame tape last week. He didn't make one NFL throw in the game.
From 2015.
From 2015, not the rain game. The other one.
The one in Clemson at night.
Yeah. Not one. Not one NFL throw. That's concerning.
But
to
that's
me.
A reason. Like, that's a reason why there's only like five or six people on the planet who do the job the way you think it should be done. You know what I mean?
Like, the right way it's supposed to be done.
Well, but it's because it's a super difficult position.
Correct.
And like, so a lot of guys with warts are going to get drafted where they do because there's only 32 of them, right? You're carrying at most three quarterbacks on your roster. You're carrying 12 offensive linemen. You know
correct.
What I'm saying? Like, so like part of this is like the inherent nature of the position.
Which is why I would
draft
one.
Which is why you can't get mad at dudes. You know, making $15 or $18 million to do it because there's only 32 people on the planet who do it at any given moment.
Just be a top 15 quarterback.
Well, which is why I would draft one every year.
Yeah.
I would draft one every year. I don't care who.
That was Ron Wolf's thing. I'm
draft
down
one
with that.
Every single
Andy Reid's always drafted quarterback.
Yeah, always. Always draft
and
one.
Like, worst case is you invest a decent pick in a quarterback and you spin it for something else.
And the best case is you get lucky, you get him in the sixth round, and you win a bunch of Super Bowls.
He turns into Hasselbeck. He turns into
whatever.
He's trying to spin his little Bill Belichick is lucky.
He got lucky. He got him in the sixth round.
Hey. Gotta get better to be lucky than good.
You're darn
in
right
that case.
It is.
Yeah.
You're darn right it is. And you know what? Nobody else drafted the kid.
That's right.
They could have gotten lucky too.
Where do you think that Tony Romo ends up when this is all said and done?
By the way, I did hear from somebody the other day that Belichick didn't even want Brady.
Jesus.
How about that?
Didn't want him. He could have easily kept him out of the building.
He had to be convinced to take him by Dick Rabine, who's now passed away. Yep. True.
Well, he still was allowed it to happen.
Yeah, after he picked Antoine Harris about 10
he
picks before.
He could have put the kibosh on it.
Yeah, you could have shut it down.
Could you imagine, like, if you actually could think like him for a day? And then, like, oh, and, but, like, you emerge. You go into Prisco's brain for a day, but it's like you're not stuck there. So the next day you wake up and you could actually have the perspective
that would
of,
be a,
like,
I feel like you would spend, like, 3 hours, like, curled up in a corner. Like, yeah. You'd be walking around Pete's brain and get to, like, the dark corner and be like, yo!
Like, sometimes your brain would, like, malfunction and you flash back into Prisco.
You guys wish you were me for a day.
Not anymore. Maybe in high school. Or not high school. Maybe. like Prisco in Lauderdale, like, 82, 83.
But I had full head of hair.
Years. I won't say. Yeah.
I had a full head of hair.
That might have been fun.
Yeah.
Now, what was the peak of your prowess? What was your best year?
Now you just...
Yeah,
like,
well, oh,
like pre-marriage. No. Like...
No,
my if you had to go back and relive a year.
I don't go back and relive any of that. I'm like the guy.
Pete's office has like 1983 scrawled on it.
You know why? Because
you don't go back. I know. I feel like I have heard more stories from you than anybody.
Yeah, but
you know why?
You know why? Because like the guy, everybody knows this guy. You know, you went to high school with him, and he's like 10 years later, he's sitting at the same bar stool, and he's going, "Remember when we were in high school? We played high school football. I used to hit that guy." Nobody wants to hear that garbage anymore. Right?
No, I know, but I'm just asking.
What was your best year? You got a number. You know
no,
what it is.
I don't,
yeah, he totally does. There's no doubt that he does.
No,
yeah.
I don't.
There was the moment I said the that there was two digits flashing.
You know what?
In
it involves Zubaz pants. It involves.
I did have.
It involves.
No,
it involves
I'm thinking it's pre Zubaz. I'm thinking we're going back to like maybe some Ocean Pacific corduroy shorts.
You know what it definitely involves is like. Like a strip of like beachy highway with a convertible top down and Pete like kind of tossing his
Pete
hair.
I'm thinking Pete in a tank top and OP corduroy
never
shorts.
Top. Never tank top. You're wrong.
Never tank top?
No. No.
You rolled down to what's the bar down on
Lauderdale? Elbow room.
Shooters.
The elbow room. You rolled down to the elbow room.
I've been in the elbow room, but the shooters was the bar on the water in Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah.
It used to be Shooters and another bar right next door. They were connected. And Sunday afternoon, they used to have a bikini contest every Sunday.
1983.
And you know what? A buddy of mine, true story, buddy of mine was in the Merchant Marine, so he used to take care of boats. So we had the cigarette boat back in the day when the Miami Vice was going on.
Are you hearing
and
this?
We used to cruise down the Intercoastal and pull up on the cigarette boat.
Oh, my God.
True. We thought we were it. We were like 20.
We're kind of inching towards what I just said. I was checking on my flight, so I zoned out for a second.
Yeah.
So it was the year of, what was it again? The Miami Vice year?
How old are you now?
56.
So what year is this? What was it?
1980.
So I said 82. My initial guess was like 82.
1982.
I was in college then.
That was the year before I was born.
Huh? And you came out of the womb with a full head of hair. Oh, I'm here, everybody.
Daddy, where are my loafers?
Daddy, is it time for croquet yet?
We lost our one fan there. Peyton Manning wandered off.
We had Peyton Manning here.
We held him captive for a good half hour.
The guy really, really liked the show.
He did.
I'd be at least subscribed.
Yeah, too bad he has no idea what he's probably listening to.
Yeah, you can subscribe via iTunes, via
Stitcher.
Go chase
him down, Brent.
You know what was great?
Running loafers?
You know what was great? You know what was great, though?
Actually, they're not even loafers.
You know what was great? He chimed in on everything, too.
Yeah.
He had an answer.
He had
Zubas. He had everything.
He was living the dream.
Once, and he's like, all right, I'll take that a couple of times. All right. We didn't answer the question. Tony Romo, where'd you go?
Oh. Houston. I think he should go to Houston.
He should go to Texans.
I think Denver's in on him, and they're... I don't think
I was talking to somebody today. I don't think Elway's going there.
I think Elway wants one of these kids to prove him right.
I think he wants
Lynch. Well, he wants Lynch, but I mean, if it's Simeon, so be it. He wants somebody to prove him right.
When I talked to Elway last year in camp, we were just talking, and there was like a, you know, the little look in your eye when a guy, like the old time when a guy found a girl or something, he was talking about Lynch. He wasn't talking about Simeon, even though he said Simeon was going to be the starter. He's like, he knew that was the bridge, and he sees him. Granted, he's not him, but he sees that big arm, strong kid. That's what he sees in Lynch. I think you're right. I think he's going to go stay with Lynch, and I think Romo's going somewhere, maybe the Texans.
I mean, do you believe what John Dorsey told us that Alec?
I do.
I don't see why he would say that.
Yeah, John wouldn't.
Because he could have danced around it.
He wants to put it to bed, and
So
and I don't think Tony's really banking on KC at this point.
And I think, but don't you think that there's some sort of wink, nod, nudge, nudge agreement with Jerry Jones and Tony Romo that he won't go somewhere in the NFC?
No.
No. I mean.
He won't go to the NFC East, right?
Redskins.
What if the Redskins traded Cousins to San Francisco?
But I don't think, I can't see. You can't imagine Tony Romo in a Redskins uniform. Sorry.
Can't imagine Favre in a Vikings jersey.
Yeah, I don't. I'm not saying no on sentimental reasons. I just.
No, it probably.
I don't see it. I don't see it lining up. Yeah.
The team that I'm surprised about that's not being mentioned is Jacksonville. Why doesn't Jacksonville try and get into Romo sweepstakes if he's released?
I feel like there's so.
I don't know that that's where he would want to go.
No,
I mean,
but you know what though. In that division, there ain't much difference between the Texans and Jacks. They lost to them by 4 points last year in two games. They're young. I mean, yeah, the Texans are better.
And not to mention, if you're Romo, or if you're the Jaguars.
Texans have cap problems,
but if you're
too.
The Jaguars and you go out and you get Tony Romo, you probably prevent him from going to the Texans. And they would be
right.
easily
but
the
Texans,
best team
right.
in that
the Texans have cap problems, too. I mean, they got.
Yeah, but I mean, you could figure it out.
You could fit it
not,
in.
Not to the point where it's crippling. They could figure it out. And Tony would play ball. Tony would play.
Right, why
he's not going to give money away.
I don't know why he wouldn't go to the Texans. I would go to the Texans.
He would love to go to the Texans.
You know why? Because he's close to his home. Yep. You know, in Dallas, he can go back and forth if he had to, and they have a chance to win. That division stinks.
If of all the bad teams, like it doesn't make any sense for him to go to San Francisco,
Chicago,
the Jets, but the Jaguars. If you're going to go to a team that has a bad record, the Jaguars are the best.
What we don't
team.
Know yeah. in that is. What does Coughlin think of him? He played against them for all those times.
But also, I mean, also with the Jaguars, like, aren't they sort of pot committed to Blake Bortles?
I don't think.
No.
No. Do you think they?
Coughlin threw a little cold water on that.
Right.
But here's the problem: the time to do that was before you did a coaching search that was engendered to pick the one guy who was going to tell you how much he loved Blake Bortles.
Right. Yeah, but it's more like Tom, whether he likes him. And I haven't talked to Tom about Romo, so I don't know, but. I imagine he's played him, and they had some competitive games in those
he
days.
Knows
if you sign Tony Romo, he's your starting quarterback.
Of course. Yeah,
he's going to beat Blake Bortles
of course
out in 35
he is.
Seconds.
Right. He's the starting quarterback in a lot of places. He probably should be the starting quarterback in Dallas, too.
The offensive line has to be a concern in Jacksonville if you're Romo, too.
Well, they're going
to
spend money, though. They're going to get Zeitler.
Sure.
They're going to try and get Zeitler. They'll probably go $12 million.
Who are their tackles?
Albert, who they just got from Dolphins, and Parnell, they're okay there. Linder's a damn good center.
I mean, Albert, though. I mean,
their offensive line is better than Texans' offensive line.
If these people are on the field. We had the same fight about Beecham in training camp, and you're telling me how good the offensive line is, and I'm telling you, boy, I don't know. I don't buy this team. I definitely don't buy the left side of their line. And then Beecham never played. Like, there's a
reason.
Well,
he played. He just
Albert
played poorly.
Expendable because he's often not healthy, and the knees aren't great, and he's a declining asset.
Right, but... Albert, I mean, I don't think Albert's that great either, but the Texans' offensive line stinks, too. The Texans' offensive line is bad. The right side's terrible.
All right, so final call. Where does he
go? But the Texans have that number one defense. That's
Texans.
Texans? I say Texans.
I think the Texans make the most sense at this point. Anything else you guys want to hit on before we wrap it up?
Not really.
We're getting the wrap it up B-signal because we have Pro Football Rundown, which is every day.
I believe I've been 86 off that again, although maybe I'll be on it tomorrow now that it looks like I'm stuck in Indianapolis.
You'll be on tomorrow now.
It's at 8 a.m. tomorrow.
I got to call my wife. Yeah.
It's at 8 a.m. tomorrow.
What's at 8 a.m.?
PFR.
No, it's not. It's at 2. We might not even do it tomorrow. We don't know.
All right. Anything else?
Nope. We're good.
Cool. No, I'm all good. 1980, the year of Prisco.
Thanks for listening to the Roughing the Passer podcast. Thanks to Blue Apron for sponsoring. For Jason Lockeford, Pete Prisco, Will Brinson. We'll talk to you guys later.